does not give us anything definite on that, but it does give us something definite that He was born. And this morning I want us to think about His name. And the scripture we'll be reading is in Matthew chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, we'll read down through the remainder of the chapter. This is the conception, the birth of our Lord. We find the announcement given to Joseph, the shock that was in his heart when these things are told unto him. We find this glorious birth recorded to us in the Word of God. And so therefore in Matthew chapter 1, we'll read these words, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Holy Scriptures give us the account of this important birth in the history, the most important birth of all of history. There's been a lot of important people born, been a lot of names that we could remember, some of the birth dates down through history, but none has ever come up to the par of our Lord and Savior. We find that when Jesus came, He was made flesh, and the Scripture says that He dwelt among us, that He was God in the flesh. There's many skeptics today, and as more and more as time progresses, and as time goes on, there are those that will ridicule those of us that celebrate the birth of our Lord. All I know for those folks is that one day they, unless they meet the Lord, they will find that they are totally, very dangerously wrong. And we'll find that you and I this morning, as we look at the Scriptures, we look at the different passages, and I wish we had time to go through all the verses concerning the announcement to Mary, and here we find the announcement to Joseph, and all the things and the details, and get them in order just as it should be. But the gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, both provide us with the details about the Savior's birth. Both accounts are correct. Both of them are completely accurate in all that they say. But it is Matthew's account that we read this morning that a powerful prophecy concerning the Lord is given, and that we have recorded in the Scriptures where we read this morning. And the Bible says, She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Here we find Joseph had already realized some things that was taking place. He, I'm sure, had many questions and many unanswered questions in his mind. The espousal of the Hebrew lady in the Hebrew marriage is much different than our engagement. When a young lady was espoused to a man in the Hebrew tradition, they were as good as married. But they were not married until they consummated that together when they came together as husband and wife. And they were expected to be chaste. They were expected to be honest with each other. And here the story, the message comes to Joseph that Mary is with child. Can you imagine how you might have felt, or how I might have felt, that when that is brought to me, I have no idea what has taken place other than there's something drastically wrong. There's something that is just not as it should be. And Joseph understands that. And he had some things that he could do legally and socially in his economy of life and where they were. The Scripture says here that Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, there's a whole lot of things to be said about Joseph, and that's a message within itself. But the Scripture says here that Joseph was a just man. He knew the Lord. He understood things of the Scripture. And he being a just man, he could have made a public example out of Mary. He could have put her away privately, or he could have had her stoned. And that was the law of the day in which they lived. But he, being a just man, he was just maybe just make an example out of her, put her away privately. And the Scripture says, and while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, I sort of believe it's the same angel that announced the birth that we mentioned and preached on Wednesday night, the angel that came to the shepherds. I'm sure that it's the same angel that appeared maybe to Mary, that announces to her that she's going to have a child. And she says, how can I have a child? I've not known a man. And the Scripture is very clear to tell us and to make us understand that Mary is exactly what we believe. She was a virgin that had never known a man. And she says, how can I have a child having never known a man? And so the angel explains to her that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and she would conceive and she'd bring forth a child. And these are things that are given to us. And the Bible says here, as we read, this took place. This was done, verse number 22, that it might fulfill which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold. And you could turn back in your Scriptures. You could literally go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and you have that prophecy that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. And so these things were done that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. That's a great study. I've mentioned it before, but every time you find the little phrase that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, it's very important, because I'll guarantee you this morning that everything in this book is going to be fulfilled just like God said it would. And the Scripture gives a message of itself that this happened because it has been stated before as the Scriptures, so that they might be fulfilled. But this morning I want us to look upon this one that is born, and the Scripture gives us these times here that are spoken in verse number 21. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 25, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called him Jesus. Joseph followed the direction of the angel and said, his name shall be called Jesus. You'll notice the word there is capitalized. That means it's a very important statement. And just like Jehovah in the Old Testament would be all capitalized, that we have in the Old Testament the word Lord. Anytime you see that in the Old Testament, you'll find that it's all capitalized. That represents and shows to us that it is Jehovah God, and the very same thing here with Jesus. And so we find that this gospel writer tells us important things about this one that was to come. First of all, we see that his incarnation. Now, that's a big word, but it just simply means that God became flesh. Thank God for that. Jesus Christ was born, and he did not become the Son of God. He was the Son of God throughout all eternity. And we find that when the Bible says that she brought forth a son, that tells us that this son that was God that come in the flesh was given to us that we might have eternal life. It is vitally important that every believer, every one of us in here this morning, that we understand what really happened in that little city called Bethlehem. It wasn't just something that took place out of the ordinary. It wasn't just something maybe to be remembered, but this is the day, this is the night that God literally came down from heaven and was birthed by a human being and brought into to this life as a man, as a person. He just as much man, just as much a human as you and I, but yet still retained God totally, and we call that deity. The Scripture says in John chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 3, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's very clear. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word not only was with God, but the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Now by that verse, we know that this Word is a person. All things were made by Him. And without Him, there's not anything made that was made. Verse number 2 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's what happened when Jesus was born. The Word was made flesh. That one that had been in the very beginning of creation, that by Him all things were created. If it wasn't created by Him, then there is no creation of such things. And John says, "We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." The word "only begotten" there means unique, different, no one ever like Him. And so we find that when Mary brings forth her son, her firstborn son, called His name Jesus, He is that one that is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Great and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So it's important that we know that on the little hillside of Judea and there in Bethlehem, that day, that night when Jesus was born, here we find that God was manifest in the flesh. He was made an individual, made a person, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There's a capsule message about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. We can add one other thing to that. He's coming again. And so this morning we're talking about this one that is given to us, that name that is above every name, the name Jesus Christ, "For He shall save His people from sin. She shall bring forth a son." She has a job, and she is the mechanism. She's the body that God chose to bring forth His Son, Jesus Christ. And so there's the incarnation. God became flesh. You and I hurt, Jesus hurt. You and I hunger, the Scripture says that Jesus hungered. Jesus thirsted. Jesus had the traits of a human being because He was just as much a human as you and I, but yet He retained and He was and always shall be God. And so His incarnation is given here in this verse, "And she shall bring forth a son." Now let's notice his identity. The identity, and the Bible says here, "And thou shalt call His name Jesus." Now in our society this morning, you can talk about God all you want to talk about, and there's not much repercussion. But when you narrow it down and you say that word Jesus, then that brings the attention of many skeptics and many people that do not want to hear of the name Jesus. Well, my Bible tells me that there's a name that's highly exalted above all names, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's certainly no coincidence that the Holy Spirit here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God and the translators as they translated our Bible, it's no coincidence that they capitalized that entire word Jesus. That brings attention to who He is. I'm glad this morning I know who He is. I'm glad this morning that one day I met Him and He moved in my heart and He's there. And I'm glad I can present Him to a world that may not want Him, may not desire Him, has no idea of who He is, but I still can present Him because He is God in the flesh. He is God that dwelt among men. His name is to be lifted up throughout all the pages of history. I told you Wednesday night that they just had did some kind of survey, and the most important individual of all of time has been now identified as Jesus Christ. Well, I could have told them that without their survey. He's the most important individual that's ever lived or ever shall live, and He had more influence upon individuals and people than any other man ever has had, and now shall call His name Jesus. That's His identification. You'll notice on our TVs and the programs, they don't have any problem talking about God, but they have a lot of problem talking about Jesus. Don't have any problem talking about somebody out there somewhere. But when you identify and bring it down to human flesh and you use that name Jesus, then you are identifying yourself as one that follows Him. And so his identification is his name. Thank God there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. A lot of people think they can be saved different ways, different avenues, different directions. I've had folks tell me we're all going to heaven, we're just taking different routes. I dare say, if you'll find that in the Scripture, I'll say I agree. But it's not in the Scripture because Jesus is the only way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man cometh to the Father except by Him. Now we can put all we want to on, and we can be politically correct all we want to be, but that does not change the fact that Jesus is the only way to glory. He's the only way to heaven. It's interesting to see how many people talk about God, but they have no idea who Jesus is. And if we do not know Jesus, we do not know God. For He is the avenue whereby we take to be ushered into the very presence of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him." Not Himself, He exalts Him. And then it tells you, "and given Him a name which is above every name." So here we find God is doing the exaltation or the exalting, and He's given this individual a name that's above everybody else's name. And then He says, "and at the name of Jesus." There's the exalted name. There's the name that we bow unto. There is the name that we worship. That is the name whereby we come to the Lord. "And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And I've said so many times in my personal ministry preaching that we'll either bow our knee to Him here or we'll bow to Him at the white throne judgment, and it's too late then. But every knee shall bow. Every individual is going to bow and they're going to recognize who Jesus is. And all that crowd that gets the attention today and they make fun and they mock and they despise the name of Jesus, one day they'll bow to Him. One day they'll look to Him. One day they'll recognize. One day they'll know they were very, very misinformed. This past week we have seen, and I'm not belittling this individual, but we have seen the different things concerning the death of Nelson Mandela. And the many churches in South Africa that were celebrating his life. But if you'll read his life, you'll find that he would not have gone to those churches because he was an atheist. He did not believe in God. He knows different now. He knows far more than most people do now. But it's too late. And I'll guarantee you one day he'll bow his knee to God. And he's no different than the pauper of any world, any country of this world. He's no different of any leader of this world. If they do not know God, they die without Him. One day they will recognize who Jesus is. And there when the Lord was birthed into this world, Joseph said, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." God has given us a name that's above every name. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is to the glory of the Father. You think about the word Jesus, you can put a lot of words with that. Take the first letters. I wrote down some things. I want to give you some verses. I wrote down some things about this word, this name Jesus. J comes to my mind is justification. Thank God I'm justified because of Him. I'm justified, and you can say it this way. What's the definition of justification? It's just as if I'd never sinned. God sees us pure and perfect in His sight through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's where it is. Everything that we have spiritually, everything that we have eternally is because of this man called Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a substitute through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Those, thank God, those past sins have been forgiven. My present sins are forgiven. My future sins are forgiven because of the blessings and the mercy of our God. Romans 3:26 says, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So it's all about Christ. It's all about Him. Not only justification, but thank God, you take the letter E. I have eternal life. You have eternal life if you're saved. It's forever. Never does end. Never does change. John 10:27 says, My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. That sounds pretty eternal to me. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have salvation, the S of Jesus, salvation. No other man, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the way, He's the truth, He is the life. And then you have the letter U. I put out beside that unconditional love. I'm glad He loved me the way I was. I didn't have to clean up. I didn't have to wash up. I didn't have to get things in order. He loved me when I was out of shape. He loved me when I was out of order. He loved me when I was yet a sinner. Thank God He died for me. The Scripture says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And so that's an unconditional love. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The New Testament, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. While I was an enemy, He was my friend. While I was ungodly, He came. And He is the one that has given us eternal life. He is the one that has given us salvation. He is the one that has given us all that we must have through His unconditional love. I'm glad I didn't have to clean up because I couldn't. People say, oh, I'm going to try to do better so the Lord will look at me, so the Lord will have me. You can forget that. You can't do better. Well, I can do better. No, you can't do better. Our human nature does not permit us to do better. We are what we are by nature. We do what we do because we are lost and undone and in sin against God. But thank God, unconditionally, He loved me where I was, the way I was, and He came unto me and said, follow Me. Thank God we can do that through our Lord. And then that last S, sanctification, He has set us aside. He set us apart that we might serve Him and give unto Him all that is due unto Him through our life. So there is His identification, His incarnation. And then lastly this morning, His intercession. He took my place. The Bible says here in our verse, the Son shall call His name Jesus. The latter part of that verse says, for He shall save His people from their sins. For He shall save His people from their sins. There's a task that Jesus had, and it is, for He shall save. You and I this morning, as we are gathered here in this building we call Grace Baptist Church, and we are here simply because the Lord came and He performed a task in our life one day. He saved us from our sins. It's a very simple matter. It's a very simple thing to understand and to know that He saved us. He delivered us. He gave us eternity. He gave us life. And so the language here is this great encouragement to the people of the Lord that the Bible didn't say that He might save us or that He will try to save us. Thank God He shall save us. And it's a great, great message. The Scriptures declare shall save from sins. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus always accomplishes what He is determined to do. Whatever He has chosen to do, He shall do that. And it is not possible for Him to fail. So the verse here that we read, He shall save His people. That's the task. You and I this morning, we are called what? The people of God. We are called Christian. We are called believers. We are called followers. Whatever adjective name you want to put upon us, we are what we are because Christ came one day, and He was birthed as a as a child lay in a lowly manger, grew to adulthood and lived a perfect life, and then died on Calvary, that you and I might be called the sons of God. That we might be called the children of the Lord. That's His task. His target is you and I. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd of our souls. He is that one, and that's that intercession that He has for us and all of those that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God we're in the family of the Lord this morning. We've been brought together, and we are called His people. And Psalm 100, verse 3 says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's the good shepherd. He cares for us. He takes care for us. And that all took place that day Jesus was born. Made it all possible. There's a transformation that happens to you and I. That He shall save His people. Those three little last words, from their sins. Now there's not a one of us in here this morning that would want to publish or proclaim in print or in verbal action, here's what my sins are. I don't want to do that, do you? I really don't want to tell and broadcast everything in my life, past, present, and surely I don't know the future. But I wouldn't want to declare all those things. But the Bible says here that He took and He saved us from our sins, from what we were. And every person born in Adam's fallen race is a depraved sinner. And there's where people have a problem. They don't want to admit they're sinners. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit that there's something lacking in their life. And you've heard, and I've heard people say, I've searched for things all my life and never have found a fulfilling thing that would help me. Oh, but thank God, Jesus Christ is what can fulfill your life. He is that one. And so, the depraved sinners, there's no possible way that man can pay for his accumulated debt. We talk about the debt of our country, and it's accumulating very quickly, very rapidly. And it's going to continue to do so. We're watching the demise and the fall of a great country. And much of it is because of a uncontrollable spending and uncontrollable debt. And you and I this morning, we have that same attitude of heart before we come to know Christ. We have an uncontrollable desire to follow the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And we have an uncontrollable way of just accumulating debt after debt after debt until we get to the point that I cannot ever pay for it. Thank God Jesus did. He paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, but thank God He washed it white as snow. That's the transformation that takes place in every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the awful debt of sin. He didn't owe a penny of it. He didn't owe anything. I had great debt I could not pay. Thank God He took my place upon Calvary, suffered my hell upon the cross of Calvary, that I might have life. He's forgiven us. I like what the Scripture says, all our iniquities. All of them. Well, I just don't know if the Lord would forgive me. If you've trusted Him, your sins are paid for. Your life is set free. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, verse 14, and you being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, that word quickened means made alive, quickened together with Him, having, notice what He says here, having forgiven you all trespasses. Every sin that you can think of that you have committed, don't broadcast them, but we know them. Everything in our life, thank God, Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. The Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The ordinances of God, the Word of God, they're against us. You know what the book says? Sinner. You know what the Bible says? Falling short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we've all come short of the glory of God. We've maybe shot at the target, but it falls short. It's sort of like a shooting an arrow at a target and the arrow just doesn't make it. We have good aim, we have good position, we have all good intentions, we're going to hit it. But when it gets there, it just falls short. And that's where God says every sinner is. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Lord blotted out all the ordinances that were against us. And then it says, which was contrary to us. And then it says, it took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Thank God this morning He saved me because of the cross. Every child of God has the imputed righteousness, the gift of righteousness unto Him. It's not what we've worked up, it's not what we've desired, not what we've tried to gain. It's what God has given to us through His blessed Son. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. And He shall save His people from their sin. Just as no amount of works can ever connect us to God, you and I, now that have been saved, there's no amount of sins that ever can separate us from God. Romans chapter 8, for what shall separate us from the love of God? And Paul gives a whole list of things there. Shall distress, shall persecution, shall... He goes on and on and on. And he says, but yea, more than we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm glad this morning I have a positive gospel. Have a positive message to tell the world. And that message is, Jesus saves. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, and with this we'll close. For unto us a child is born. I may use this tonight, I'm not sure. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called, and has a whole list there, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it's all wrapped up in one name. His name shall be called Jesus. That's why the world hates Him. Because it all rests upon Him. You can talk about God and higher authority and higher being, and that sounds good and that sounds proper. That doesn't tell us anything. We'll only go to heaven through the shed blood of the Son of God, and His name was Jesus. I'm glad this morning I know Him. I pray that every person in this auditorium today can give that same testimony, I know Him. Not just about Him. We know facts. We can quote the facts. We can give all kind of facts about Him. But do you know Him personally? Do you know Him like you know you? And you just put your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. Do you know Him like that? A personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we do, then thank God, His name is Wonderful. His name is Jesus. And He shall save us. Continues to work in our heart and our life. And one day He's coming again. Soon and very soon we shall see the King. Let's stand together this morning.